of last week's lesson that Liz taught, and talking about how David had to leave his home, his kingdom, and why he left 10 women there, 10 concubines, and then ended up talking about, would you follow your leader? What would you do? Would you do anything for your leaders? And went into scriptures on that. So Liz brought out that the obvious is that David left them there to keep the house, to take care of the kingdom there. Not that they would be able to take care of all of it, but just it's almost like a token of saying, I'm not deserting this place. I'm just, you know, leaving for a while. And so he left the 10 women there, which is pretty amazing, you know, that he could trust these 10 women to take care of the household while he was gone. And part of Liz brought out was the scripture of the prophecy from Nathan of what was going to happen to David because of his sin. This is all part of the consequences of sin. And so we see Nathan's words ringing true in this example right here. But David is such an amazing person, that man that's after God's own heart, how he accepted the consequences of his sin, and he still puts his trust in God. I mean, he still trusts God, even though these things are happening in his family and in his life. And then she brought out the scripture, which I always love, that how the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, my horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I love that psalm. And then going into being leaders, how Paul taught, you can follow me because I follow Jesus. And that's exactly what we have in our lives. I mean, we wouldn't be here if our pastors didn't follow Jesus. I mean, who would stay in a body where the pastors are not obeying the word of God? Amen? So our pastors can say, follow me because I follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, and she brought out how we're all imperfect, but each one of us walk, it's our responsibility to walk in a godly way. It's each one of us, our responsibility. And then the scriptures of standing fast in the Lord, of course, being of one mind in the Lord, and working together in unity. And the scriptures always end up in the Lord when we're talking about standing fast, being of one mind. It always ends up with saying in the Lord. Always want to make sure we're in the Lord, in God's perfect will with that. And then the final scripture that she brought out was the one we all know by heart and love. Think upon these things. Think upon these things. There's so much in our lives that we could think upon that is negative, but God shows us how we can think upon these things and to keep diligence in our heart and our minds. So that's basically my notes from her teaching last week. If you have anything you want to add. All right. So we'll go into the question for today, which we're on question 5. In 2 Samuel 15, and we'll read the question first and then the scriptures. Question is, who is Ittai the Gittite? And study scriptures on loyalty and honor. And turning to 2 Samuel chapter 15, reading verses 19 through 23. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. All right, so a lot of scriptures there, a lot in them. But the first part of the question was, who is this Ittai the Gittite? What did you find out about him? I kind of like his name and the flow of that. Ittai the Gittite. Probably a song wrote about him once upon a time. What did you find out about Ittai? Very interesting man. And how he shows up here. He's only been with David for one day. And now David is leaving his kingdom. Did you find out anything about him? Somebody have the mic?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, Hap.
I found out that he was a Philistine. And evidently he was a pretty cunning and resourceful man as far as being able to lead people. He was David's palace guard, personal guard, bodyguard, I guess you could put it in terms today. But he had 600 men with him, and he was one of David's go-to men.
Amen. He was a Philistine, which is very interesting. The Philistines that David and God's people always fought against. But here we see this Philistine is now come to Jerusalem to become a part of David's kingdom. And after one day of being there, now David has to leave, and he wants to go with him. And David brings out that he's a stranger. He was a stranger in the land of Jerusalem. So all that means is that he was just a foreigner. He was from a different country. And that he was an exile. Now, I mean, it doesn't tell us why he was an exile, but obviously there's a lot of turmoil in countries, and there's a lot of revolutions and uprisings and political factions. And it doesn't say why he left his country of Gath and came to be with David. But did anybody look into the country he came from and the significance of that? Gath? Dennis?
When David was on the run, he spent some time there, so some of the people probably remembered him and knew him.
Exactly. He took refuge in Gath when he was in exile from Saul seeking him. So he, remember that we studied into all this when he stayed in Gath for, I don't know, maybe 18 months or so. And then he was going out and fighting against the Philistines without them knowing it from the country he was living in. And he made great friends there, and people had a high opinion of him. He had a good reputation. And so here comes Ittai, who very possibly knew him in Gath or knew about him. And he's leaving Gath to come and live with David. Also, another little note is Goliath was from Gath. Goliath, the giant that David killed, he was from Gath. There was a lot of giants that came from that country. So I thought that was kind of interesting how now here we have this man coming from Gath, just been in the presence of David for, he probably came there and sought refuge, just like an ally. Cluda?
Well, I found it that he, a place where it said he was the king's slave. I don't know if that meant that he was a servant or if he was actually captured from, you know, Gath and brought to Jerusalem, but they call him a slave.
Okay, Hap, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, what I read about it was that he was, him and his men were mercenaries, that, you know, they're professional soldiers, if you will, and they were coming to David for work, and evidently, like you said, I think Ittai was, I'm sure he probably knew of David, and from that previous encounter when David was in that land, but I know David was only, what, just a young lad when he killed Goliath, so I'm sure that reputation kind of spread throughout out the countryside too. Mm-hmm. And evidently, if he was living in gas for 18 months, that they must have had some respect for him, even though he was an enemy of the Philistines. I mean, we have enemies today, but yet we still kind of befriend one another. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's it.
Well, you could say maybe David was a mercenary also when he was in Gath with all of his 600 men. And then we see Ittai leaving Gath with 600 men. Now, that usually denotes kind of power when you have a following and you have men going with you. And later on in the study, we'll see where Ittai does receive a position, a military position, a very important position from David. So that just shows he must have had a background of, like what Hap said, military knowledge for David to use him later on. Let's look at scripture on that, just to back it up. On 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 2. I just don't want you to think I just threw that out of the air, but it's in the scripture. So 2 Samuel 18, 2. And David sent forth a third part of the people, that's a whole third part of the people, under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. So here we see David using him after he comes back to take the kingdom back from Absalom, or to fight this revolution. So he obviously had military knowledge, military importance. When it says he came from Gath with 600 men, how many men did David have when he was in exile, when he was fleeing from Saul? That amount of men denotes power, that he does have a following. All right, anything else that you found out about Ittai the Gittite? If you look at him, he was kind of like an immigrant. Wasn't he? Only immigrant with 600 people or more, because they only usually name men, and they don't name all the women and children that were a part of his company. So it's pretty interesting that not too much has changed over the years, you know, that we still have people coming to other countries for assistance, for allies, and it's just the way it works in the world. So Ittai is a pretty amazing man, that he's given his loyalty and honor to David, and he's only been in his city for one day. So that tells you a lot about David and how he affected people and what people knew about him. So anything else about Ittai you want to bring out? Because we'll study some more about him later on. All right, so the next part of the question is to study scriptures on loyalty and honor, because that's what we're seeing here, is this loyalty Ittai had to King David. And you wouldn't think that he would have that kind of loyalty after just being around him for one day. So what did you find on loyalty? Loyalty and honor. Do you have loyalty? What is loyalty? What's the word even mean? Paul?
And the first thing I went to was God's loyalty towards us. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And it's that relationship you have with the person that you know, no matter what you're going through or what's happening in your life, that they're not going to turn their back on you or sell you out, or they'll always be there for you. It's a confidence in knowing that you have a friend or a spouse or a relative that feels that way about you. And as I was studying it, I was looking at different types of loyalty, and A loyalty that doesn't have anything to gain one way or the other is a true loyalty. No matter what happens to you, they'll still be there for you. But somebody that has an agenda, they're loyal to you for what you could do for them. Or when things get bad, that they don't hang around long. I mean, as a supervisor and construction jobs, there was always a certain amount of guys that were always trying to get a job with the client, so whatever it took, and they were kind of undermine our company to suit their own purposes. And I used to have a safety meeting about that once in a while, because there's things as a contractor that stays in house, and it's the same thing spiritually. No place is perfect. But if we have issues, we need to keep them in house and deal with them in house. That shows the loyalty to your, not only to God, but to His people and His family. And God's never let me down, and He's our example.
Amen. Loyalty, Sherry.
I just remember sayings of, you don't air your laundry, your family laundry, to everyone. But, I mean, there are always going to be problems in a group of people. And, you know, if you have a confidant that you need to talk to, that's really a good thing. And one that will help you, not hinder you in your thinking and your walk. And, you know, we're all trying to grow and become better people. And, you know, I think loyalty is really important, you know, because I do ask myself a lot of times, you know, why am I doing this? And, you know, who is it going to, you know, who is it going to gain from it? And is it for God, or is it, you know, to win somebody's favor for someone else? And, you know, I want to have pure intents in my heart about why I'm doing something, and because I love God. And anyway, yeah.
Amen. Ron?
I think it's a lot has to do with standing by your brothers and sisters when they're going through a hard time, and not picking and choosing. God puts us together to be as a team and work together and be a strength for each other. And I think that plays a big part in it. And just being loyal to God. I mean, He's gave us all the desires of our heart, and He shows us in His word how we're supposed to treat each other and be loyal to Him. And times you may not know all the answers at the moment, but I trust God that He's got all the right answers, and He's going to have it all figured out.
Amen. That is loyalty. And it ties loyalty here. We see Him being loyal in David's most difficult time. It would have been so easy for him to just stay in Jerusalem, and Absalom would have accepted his help there. But he stayed by David's side, even when it was the most difficult. So I'll give you the definition of loyalty. It's a wholehearted fidelity together with unwavering devotion and duty. This is a tie. Wholehearted fidelity together with unwavering devotion and duty. So this means our whole being is thoroughly committed, and this is how we are with God. So loyalty is remaining committed even when the times are difficult. That's the type of loyalty you want from your friends and your family. Loyalty is being faithful. Faithful, they really go hand in hand. And loyalty comes from the heart, and it never ends. It comes from the heart. And you see this with Ittai and his words toward David. So it's developing allegiance and respect with one another, and not seeking to manipulate the other person. And Paul brought that out too. So true loyalty is faithfulness in your friends, in your family. And let's look at another scripture that reminds me of what Ittai says here, and that's in Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. And reading verses 16 and 17. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What beautiful words. And I know a lot of people use that in marriage vows, because they're perfectly said. But Ittai says the same thing back here in 2 Samuel in verse 21 when he says, "As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." That's a beautiful picture of a faithful friend. Now, he's just not a comrade. He's just not a companion in war, but he's a faithful friend, going to stay with David no matter what, no matter what is happening in his life. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17. And we did study this a while back on loyalty and honor and honesty. Proverbs chapter 17 and reading verse 17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So that's the kind of friend I know we all want, one that's going to love us at all times, be there by our side, no matter what happens, no matter whether we're on top or we're on the bottom. That friend will be there for you. That is being loyal, a friend who loves at all times. So do you have any scriptures on loyalty or honor, Paul?
Well, one of the scriptures that I had here, I mean, I got all kinds of scriptures, but it was an example of Ruth. The first chapter of Ruth, verses 16 and 17. That's probably the one
the
you
same
had too.
One. One mind in accord in God. Thank you, Paul. Anybody else have scriptures on loyalty?
I was thinking of God's loyalty to us, and he states that numerous times in the scriptures, but in Revelations he repeats it a number of times, that when he says, "He that endures unto the end," that promise that we'll be saved, but we got to endure until the end, but he's always there, and he doesn't leave us alone. He guides us each step of the way, no matter what we're going through. Amen. He's always loyal and faithful to us, and he wants the same from He wants the same from us, too, to be loyal to him.
Amen. And I think you said it before, he'll never leave you or forsake you. Sherry Larson?
So I love the one. I really love this one. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And it's John 15:13.
Amen. I have that one too. Claudette?
There's one in Deuteronomy 7:9 that says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations."
Amen. And that's another one I had, Claudette. Thank you. We're all in that one mind and accord when it comes to God. Amen. Anyone else? All right, so in studying this, loyalty, honor, it just brings into my mind how we need to be with one another at all times. At all times. That loyalty to one another, that loyalty to God's work, that loyalty to the ministry. It's all required by God, loyalty. He gives us loyalty, so we definitely should be giving it back in return, not just to our friends, the ones that we're closest to, but to everyone, the whole body. So I have 5 points of what loyalty is. Loyalty doesn't waver, right? And we'll go into some scriptures on these. Loyalty is what you do, not what you say. Loyalty is a willing decision. Loyalty is demanding. It's demanding. And loyalty will involve sacrifice. And we'll go over some scriptures that parallel with these 5 points. This is what I see in Ittai and how he showed his loyalty. Every single one of these points is Ittai. And he's a great example of what loyalty should be. So in first one, loyalty does not waver. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Loyalty does not waver. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. It's exactly what you've all just said. You can trust God. He's faithful with what he promises. So we need to hold fast everything we know in God. And we need to do it without wavering. Without wavering. It involves steady commitment. A steady commitment to God. All right, the second one, loyalty is what you do, not what you say. I mean, that's in everything in God. It's not your words, it's your actions. So turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 reading verse 18. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In deed and in truth. So loyalty is not what you do. It is what you do. It's not what you say. Just what the scripture says here. Don't love in word or just your tongue, but in deed and in truth. Your actions. Your actions always prove out who you are. And the third one, loyalty is a willing decision. And turn back to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, reading verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot serve God and the natural. So you make the decision. You have that free will. You make your decision of what you're going to do with your life, with your time. It's a willing decision. Loyalty is a willing decision. And the fourth one, loyalty is demanding. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, reading verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, do you think that's demanding? demanding of you your loyalty to do these things, to be kindly affectionate to one another, to prefer one another. Is that not demanding? Let's continue reading. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. It is demanding. God demands our time. Requirements from God all throughout his word. So loyalty is demanding. And the last key point was loyalty will involve sacrifice. We see this with the tithe. Look what he's sacrificing. He's taking all of his people, children included, the little ones, to go, he doesn't even know where, but to follow David. He's sacrificing his time, his livelihood, his families. So turn back to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, reading verses 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you think these are pretty harsh words from Jesus. If any man come to me and hate, okay, he's using the word hate. But go on, he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So here's that sacrifice that loyalty comes with. You are sacrificing your life. You've given your life to God for him to lead and guide you in whatever he feels is best for you. That's that trust, that's that loyalty, that faithfulness that you have with that relationship between you and God. So loyalty is faithfulness. Give you the 5 points again. Loyalty doesn't waver. Loyalty is what you do, not what you say. Loyalty is a willing decision. Loyalty is demanding, which is okay with me because I want God to demand from me. And loyalty will involve sacrifice. And don't we want to give those sacrifices to God? So loyalty, something we all need in our lives, something I want from my family and friends. But let's look at honor. Honor, esteem, value, great respect when you have honor for someone else. As Ittai had honor for David and was willing to lay down his life for his friend. And Sherry read that scripture in John chapter 15, verse 13. I had the same scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. And this is teaching about having honor and respect for those that are set in by God. So Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. God sets in, God sets out. God has no problem. He is God, the creator of all these worlds and universes that we have not seen. He has no problem setting out when it's his time to set out, if there's a need. We've seen that in our body in the past. So whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. You know, Moses taught the same thing. And God said, if you speak against Moses, you're speaking against me. Remember those teachings back in the Old Testament? I think we just had that not too long ago. So whosoever therefore resists the power set in by God, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This word is judgment. It means judgment from God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Amen. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he or she is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Now that's the word of God. He's not going to come at you or her or she with the sword. But the word of God, yes, for your life. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. That is loyalty and honor. That's how you esteem those that are set in by God. If you have loyalty, you'll have honor. They go hand in hand. And you have to look at it. If united we stand. Now, this is a great saying. United we stand. This body of believers, divided we're going to fall. You can bet it. It's a given. You cannot fight a war and be divided. You can't let the enemy come in and cause problems and be divided. United we stand, divided we fall. United we have loyalty. Loyalty to God, loyalty to one another. Loyalty to our pastor, who is doing his very best for each and every one of us. Can he get up there and teach like Alice? No, he'll be the first to tell you that. But he's going to teach and preach with all of his heart what God has put on his heart. And whether it's 30 minutes or an hour, it's our job to have loyalty and honor, respect to the word of God that's coming across from someone who is there because God set them there. And we cannot compare ourselves among ourselves. Compare one teacher to another. Is that wise? We all have different abilities and different gifts. God wants to use them all. There's many great teachers in our body, many. And God will use them. But united we stand, divided we fall. Loyalty. Loyalty is wholehearted fidelity together with your unwavering devotion and duty. And it's not very... It doesn't usually happen in this world that we live in, that kind of loyalty. But it does happen in God, with God's people. And that's the kind of people I want to be around. Because then I know that they love God the same way I love God, according to his word. According to his word. Not according to what I think and the way I think things should be, or the changes I want done. It doesn't matter. Because God's in control. God's in control. If you trust God, then trust that he's in control. And you'll have that loyalty and honor. That's all I have for you. If you have anything you'd like to add. I'm just going to lose my voice. Paul?